Hello and welcome to Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
Hey, Internet.
I almost said Mike Mignola.
Oh, I'd have been kind of okay with that.
Yeah. Not the worst thing to be called.
Exactly.
And we're doing another one of those wonderful, oh God, we have to just focus an entire episode on a single topic thing because what in the hell are you doing, Ezra Miller?
Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there right now.
Uh-huh.
If topics like grooming and child abuse and so forth are at all triggering for you, skip this episode.
Yeah, we are not going to be upset if the traffic on this one is lower or if you don't see it. We're not going to be hiding any gems at the end. There is not like, stay tuned for our reveal of the next super secret Star Wars trailer that only we have. No, that is not happening. This entire episode is mostly going over the ridiculous and terrible facts and then trying to determine what in the hell. Skip if necessary. Go check out any of our other great podcasts at Here You Go Productions. Lovely. This is the only one that'll deal with this nonsense.
Yeah. Natalie, if you want to stick around and listen, hey, wonderful. If not, please don't forget to like, share, subscribe. You can email us at realgeekshfx@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at realgeekshfx. And feel free to just come back for our next episode, our review of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Have fun with that, because we're about to suffer. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When we last checked in with Ezra Miller, they were getting arrested for this and that, a little bit of this and that, you know, roughhousing in public, assault, this and that. However, things have escalated. Things have deepened. Yeah. Things have become far, 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 far worse.
Yeah, this...
Lose detail.
This is just gonna get dark, and when I say dark, we're talking pitch black here.
Yeah, this is bad. This is bad. Like, yeah. By all means, don't let me stop you because.
Now, the big one, and you'll understand this in a few minutes, but I'm going to apologize now because I'm going to be jumping back around between like three articles here. But the big story that everyone has heard about so far is, this is from ET Online, where the parents of a teenager have accused Ezra Miller of physically and emotionally abusing their daughter and alleged that the actor has groomed her since she was 12 years old. According to a petition for protection / restraining order that had been filed on June 7th, in Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Court, the parents of 18-year-old Takata Iron Eyes, Chase Iron Eyes, and Sarah Jumping Eagle are claiming that Ezra Miller uses violence, intimidation, threat of violence, fear, paranoia, delusions, and drugs to hold sway over a young adolescent Takata. Ezra has brainwashed Takata. Ezra Miller has ensured that Takata is without a phone and has given her bank card to another of his workers, end quote. Her parents are also claiming that Miller told Takata about the actor's sex addiction and that they have been raped at 14, which her parents allege appears to be, quote, means to gain trust from a potential victim. And there's a disturbingly large amount more.
Take a breath. Look outside the window. Isn't it nice out? Such a lovely day. Such a lovely, lovely day. Then look back inside, because somewhere out there is Ezra Miller, and we don't know where. Please continue.
Yeah. Quote, "It has now become clear through discussions with multiple friends of Takata and Ezra that Ezra convinced Takata to have sex with Ezra sometime in January 2022 as a means to help cure Ezra's sex addiction." Just that one sentence has so many questions.
Oh, there's too many questions, and we don't, like, we'll get to the questions. We will get to the questions. Yeah. Because if we stopped for all the questions as they came up, we would get nowhere. Yeah, I would never
get through this one article.
Yeah, yeah. And that's never a good sign. Please continue.
Quote, "Given Takata's mental state, there are questions about Takata's ability to consent then and now. They further accused Miller of, quote, taking advantage of a power dynamic as a former trusted family friend slash mentor." Now, with that issue of consent, I'm just going to put in a quick note here regarding use of pronouns. When referring to Takata, I'm going to be using her birth pronouns, even though it's going to come up that, that they have allegedly changed them. I'm using her birth pronouns because I don't know if that choice to change pronouns was theirs.
Yeah, like that's how incredibly murky everything currently is. Because if their pronouns are different, then by their own choice, then obviously apologies and retroactive editing and such. I will be calling them they and try to do my best not to confuse that with Ezra, them, they. Just because, like, this is such a clusterfuck. This is such a clusterfuck. Oh my god.
Yeah,
this thing needs momentum or else it just, the whole thing falls apart. Please continue.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that in there because I don't know if I'm endorsing her choice or if I'm endorsing a crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I have to stop and backtrack. Because there are other victims.
Other alleged
victims at any rate. Yeah.
Oh, good. Now I'm learning things I didn't know. Yay.
Now, I had an article come up on my Facebook feed over the past week from daily.com. Now, this article was posted on April 24th and then updated on April 25th. Normally, I would have skipped it, but all things considered. Days after getting arrested in Hawaii for alleged assault, again, and the emphasis is actually theirs, film actor Ezra Miller is being accused of being an abuser by their alleged ex. In a viral TikTok, creator Mia Solange, who uses they-them pronouns, posted a series of photos allegedly taken in 2019 of themselves and the Fantastic Beasts star. The photos, mostly of Solange and Miller spending time together, hinted at an intimate relationship. The video uses the trending sound from the animated film Coraline, in which a character says, "You are in terrible danger." In the caption, Solange added more context to the alleged relationship, saying, quote, "You took everything from me. Ezra Miller," note they censored Miller, "is not a good human. And I can finally say so without being terrified. Hashtag abuser," they wrote. The video currently sits above 3 million views. And yet no media mentioned aside from this that I'm aware of. Now, I'm not going to go much further than that for the sake of time, but the article does continue to talk about a Twitter user named Ren. Their username is at lots of gay crimes, who has shared screenshots and so forth of Ezra, essentially documenting that this stuff goes back at least 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And
oh God, I forgot. It's not over.
Now, you remember just before we started recording when I said, yeah, that was a last minute Google search I wish I had not done? Before we came on, I did a quick check just to see if there was anything newer than what we already had. A Massachusetts mother has been granted a temporary order of protection on behalf of her 12-year-old child against Ezra Miller.
Jesus Christ.
The court order issued Wednesday by the Greenfield District Court in Massachusetts and seen by NBC News, which is where I got this from, said it, quote, was issued without advance notice because the court determined that there is a substantial likelihood of immediate danger of harassment.
Sweet Jesus.
The mother, who spoke on the condition that their names be withheld out of privacy concerns, which is just utterly, utterly legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's valid, especially when dealing with a minor.
Yeah. Said she and her child met Miller in February through an acquaintance. She said Miller first seemed friendly, but that she soon grew suspicious of Miller's relationship with her child. She said she told the judge that Miller offered to buy the child gifts, including a horse, even after she rejected Miller's earlier offers. Quote, I kept wondering why Ezra was here. Like, don't you have Hollywood stuff to do? Don't you have movies coming out, she said. The order of protection, first reported by the Daily Beast, adds to what is now a 3-month series of allegations directed at Miller that started with disorderly conduct charges in Hawaii and has since grown to include accusations from parents of child grooming. The allegations against Miller have also prompted online furor, pitting Miller's aggressive fan base, which I'm amazed that they still have at this point.
Oh, there's always going to be a fan base. That's...
Yeah,
no matter true. How terrible, there's always going to be the fan base.
Miller's aggressive fan base that maintains their innocence against people calling for the authorities and Warner Brothers to take action.
Good Lord. And these are, as well, these are people who have hung on to Harry Potter despite the bigotry and hung on to the DCEU Snyderverse despite its failure and general crappiness. These are the worst of fandom.
Yeah, well, and like, there's partly that, and then like with especially in the Harry Potter case, there's product versus creator. That's not here.
No, this is the creator is just terrible, and you're celebrating it. No, keep moving. No distractions. No bathroom breaks. Keep moving.
Alright, now we're going to jump back to Takata Iron Eyes. That being the case, and so far, I hate that I'm saying this, but thankfully the only case that we have details on. Her parents declared in court documents that Miller allegedly took, quote, an immediate and apparent innocent liking to Takata Iron Eyes and began to formulate relations, end quote, but including flying her and other tribal members to London to tour the studio for Fantastic Beasts. During that trip, Miller allegedly attempted to sleep in the same bed as Takata, who was then 14 years old. And needless to say, I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Yep.
However, according to the petition, a chaperone prevented that sleeping arrangement. That chaperone deserves the biggest of raises.
Yeah. Chaperone. No, that person. That person probably works for the studio and, they are paid to keep their mouth shut and just deal with this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my sweet God. This is probably, this is bad, but it's probably not the worst that they've done. Oh. Forward.
On another occasion, Takata apparently told her dad that Miller and others had snuck her into clubs. In 2019, the parents recalled Miller allegedly presented an opportunity to Takata's parents for her to attend college in Massachusetts while obtaining her high school diploma, which they agreed to, but she had to return to the reservation in March of 2020 when her school went online amid the COVID-19 pandemic, which at the time might have been, I can't believe I'm saying this, but at that point, the pandemic may have been the safest thing that could possibly have happened to her. Now, by 2021, Takata had allegedly been traveling to Miller's Vermont residence while going to school in Massachusetts, and her parents claimed that she had been, quote, consuming cannabis and letting her studies lapse. According to the documents, Takata said that Miller had allegedly promised to take her on tour in Europe and produce her music. She ultimately dropped out of school in Massachusetts in December of 2021 and went on a road trip with Miller and others at the start of 2022. Chase, her father, joined them during the first leg of the trip to California, where he alleges he witnessed Miller, quote, express delusions of being an incarnation of Jesus Christ, end quote. Among other claims, and brandish a firearm in a state park while discussing his past lives. After failing to convince Takata to leave the group, Chase left California. And again, it keeps going.
It does. It does.
Because now we hit the drug use. In the petition, the parents further alleged that Miller gave Takata LSD while in New York and took her back to the actor's property in Vermont. Quote, reportedly, Takata did not sleep and her mental state deteriorated rapidly to the point that Ezra Miller and the house guests at Ezra Miller's property finally decided to call Takata's parents to inform Chase Iron Eyes and Sarah Jumping Eagle that Takata was in an incapacitated state and they did not feel safe, comfortable, or that they could help Takata improve. At the time, Takata apparently was unable to find her personal items, like her passport and cell phone. Her parents alleged that Miller later stole the items from a friend's house where they had been left. Now, Takata's parents also claimed that Miller transported a supply of firearms and ammunition from Vermont to North Carolina in January, quote, for a potential confrontation with the KKK, end quote.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I do remember seeing mention of that on social media where I think Miller had basically posted this weird fucking video challenging members of the KKK to a fight.
Yeah. And it's like, at the time, it was like, that's really fucking weird. Dude's on a lot of drugs. You can tell he's on a lot of drugs in the video. And it's like, okay, that was weird. Celebrity does weird thing. Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. To this day, the parents said, quote, Takata is paranoid about the KKK surveilling them, tracking them, and generally being a target of the KKK, end quote. After picking up their daughter from Miller's Vermont property to bring her home in January, the parents claimed they found bruises on her allegedly caused by the star pinning her down, because Takata would not answer some line of inquiry put forth by Ezra Miller. After several weeks of detoxifying from alleged drug and alcohol use with Miller, Takata traveled to Brooklyn, where it turned out she was meeting Miller instead of another friend she had initially told her parents she was staying with. According to the petition, Takata and Miller were later spotted in Los Angeles and Hawaii. Yes, it was that Hawaii trip.
Mm-hmm.
During which the actor was arrested twice and a temporary restraining order was filed against him. Takata's parents claimed there were discussions with the friends and family to attempt an intervention and include Warner Brothers and Miller's mother, but the company and his mom allegedly backed out, quote, of the professional intervention efforts. And E.T. says they've reached out to Warner Brothers for comment, but it's Warner Brothers, so of course, so far, nothing has been said. In this past May, they claim Miller took over the phone during a call between Takata and her mother and claimed that Miller told Sarah, and this is what I alluded to earlier when I was talking about pronouns and why I'm using her birth pronouns. Miller allegedly told Sarah that Takata was to be called Gibson and they, and that if her mom wanted to know how Takata was, she should contact someone in, quote, the community. And now this next quote is oddly one of the most obvious and disturbing things in this entire article. Quote, this is cult-like and psychologically manipulative controlling behavior on the part of Ezra Miller, the petition states. Per the petition, Miller has allegedly decided that Takata is non-binary transgender and is convincing people that her parents are not supportive of her identity, although she previously identified as she, they, and non-binary queer, which her parents are supportive of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Takata did put out a lengthy statement on her Instagram in response to everything. Oh, and if you haven't already, buckle up, folks, because man, is this a read.
My body is ready.
Quote, I'd like to make a statement to acknowledge the tragedy that is the narrative of the general public and the assumptions made on my behalf by my family and friends regarding my stability and otherwise. I dropped out of Bard 5 months ago. My friend and comrade, William, passed shortly thereafter. My mind was incredibly impacted, and I've needed space and time for the processing of grief. My comrade, Ezra Miller, for the entirety of the aforementioned era, has only provided loving support and invaluable protection throughout this period of loss. I am in no way or under any circumstance have ever been, during my short-lived adulthood, in need of a conservatorship. My father and his allegations hold no weight and are frankly transphobic and based in the notion that I am somehow incapable of coherent thought or opposing opinions to those of my own kindred worrying about my well-being. I am now aware of the severity of emotional and psychological manipulation I was made to endure while in my parents' home. I am an adult and I deserve to feel authority in my own body. I am tired of wondering whether or not cops will show up to section me on a daily basis. I have decided upon a therapist and am excited to now engage in conversation with a mental health professional about my anxiety and probable depression. It is no one's business. My choices are my own. And as to the nature of police intervention in my quote-unquote case, it is unnecessary and it is a waste of time and resource. Takada concluded, this bout of blatant betrayal and toxicity my parents and others have chosen to punish me with has been desperately embarrassing and traumatically life-altering. Relationships in my life have been grossly affected, some detrimentally so. This behavior is unacceptable and needs to be called out. End quote. And I know you're going to want to go into this a little more in depth, but I'm just going to flat out say it. There is no way in hell she wrote that.
I mean, was she going to law school? I can't believe that she was going to law school.
I don't know. I don't think it was mentioned what she's going to school for, but to be perfectly honest, and even like to just use myself as an example, like when I was 18 and I was in college, I had professors like straight up tell me that I was a great writer. Like I got a lot of high writing related marks, and I could never have written that.
Yeah, and like I work in media. I am a professional journalist, and I've worked in you know, like promotion and image control and such, and you know, I hope I could write that. But that's because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
If she wrote that, then she has a fantastic future in public relations. Because that was written very specifically with a lot of very certain and specific terms used that would then be pointed to in court. And thus, like, no, see, because she said here... She used these exact words, this exact phrase, as laid out in the statute. So, it was consensual. And it's like, oh my sweet God. Okay. That's still not the end of it, is it? There's just like...
For those of you wondering around that restraining order, whether or not that filing was successful, the filing was successful. There's one tiny problem. Nobody can find Ezra Miller.
Now, that would be one thing if they just dropped off the face of the earth. You know, go to ground. It's smart, I guess. After all these terrible mistakes. No, that makes sense. I'm sure that the authorities will never hear from Ezra Miller again. I'm sorry, what's that? We're just getting something in?
The authorities may not hear from Ezra Miller now after Ezra Miller deleted their verified Instagram. After going full-on supervillain and straight-up just taunting authorities.
So, one thing that has not come up at all throughout any of this, and why I feel that we can have an entire episode of what is, you know, accusation and conjecture and allegation and 100% believe pretty much all of it, at no point has Miller, a representative of Miller, or a representative of Warner Brothers said, none of that is true. All of this is happening. Ezra Miller literally mocked the authorities attempting to serve them. All I can think of is, remember when Armie Hammer was kind of found out to have, like, a cannibalism fetish? And, like, was...
Yeah.
You know, into restrictive relationships? And like, people tried to massage that. It was 100% true, and you know, you couldn't get away from that. But like, the studio tried to massage that. Army Hammer's people tried to massage that. There was an attempt. There is no attempt. There is nothing. That's how you know that, like, oh God, this is fully off the rails. Fully.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, now if you need proof of how off the rails this is, here's some of the things that Miller posted before deleting their Instagram. One image says, "You cannot touch me. I am in another universe."
which is why this is why you don't give vote for Oscars to crappy movies like Zack Snyder's Justice League, because you end up with stupid shit like this. It's literally a reference to the scene that they quote unquote won an Oscar for, and it's like, see, you don't empower stupidity.
The next one says, "Message from another dimension." Okay, this one I'm going to have to come back to because I can't read the image on the text on the image, but I know the text is in the article. The third one says, it's an image of a man vomiting, and the text reads, "Me remembering how nice I was," or "me remembering how I was nice, rather, when I should have said, 'Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?'" And actually, the last one I'm just not going to bother with because there's not real actual text on there. The one that where I couldn't read it on the image says, quote, "I am shielded from negative people and their ill intent. My spirit, mind, body, soul, and success are not altered by anyone's envy. I am protected from all negative," something that they couldn't even read, "people attempt to throw at me. Subconsciously and consciously, I clear any and all hidden peers who are hidden enemies," end quote. What?
Stable.
Oh, yeah.
Clear narrative. Definitely written with a very strong sense of purpose, but not necessarily of vision or message.
Yeah, no. Takata's father was quoted about the current situation saying, quote, "Miller moves around so much that we're stuck in this legal limbo situation and we can't serve them in any place they're in long enough. They've been flighty, they've been avoiding service, and now there's public pressure mounting on them to make a decision, which makes us very concerned about Ezra's volatile nature." And considering how documented that volatile nature is, that man has every goddamn right to be concerned.
Yeah. When you have courts rushing protection orders for children into place.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen without a mountain of evidence or worry, at least in good courts. Bad courts are bad courts, of course, and they exist and they are prevalent, but bad courts tend to also ass-kiss celebrity, and when a court rushes to protect a minor from a celebrity, I feel like there's probably just a mountain of evidence under this mountain of evidence. Like, oh yes, no, this mountain range is lovely and millions of years old, but it's sitting on top of the primordial, you know, like, crust of billions of years ago, and that bitch was massive. We are far from the end of where the details of this will eventually come out, and you talked for half an hour solid of just things that occurred. That's what we know so far. A solid half hour of content and details without going into the inevitable criminal trial and details that'll come out of that. Like, that's just a couple of allegations. One side of a couple of allegations. Oh, God. How much worse this will become. Even if everything stops right now, they turn themselves in immediately, this moment. This is like, we have scraped the top of it, because that kind of behavior doesn't just start, and that kind of behavior is all-consuming often. And there's no way that, and especially since the studio seemingly was originally involved in an intervention of some sort, there's no way that they can plead that they had no idea.
They 100% knew.
Their complete silence at this point is clearly just like, they have no sweet clue how to approach something of this level. It's almost this bizarre limbo, because like, if Ezra stepped over the line and killed someone, they could have means to cut them off. Oh no, it's over. If there was a proven conviction of like rape or sexual assault, they could cut them off. But they're in this legal middle ground where none of it has necessarily been proven, so none of like the behavior clauses have been voided in the contract, and they've got so much money riding on this asshole that, you know, to cut it off would mean essentially abandoning, I don't know, $300 million, maybe $400 million worth of recent investment.
Yeah.
At a time when they're looking at the mistakes of the past and their plans for the future with the company that Discovery recently purchased, and they're definitely like, my God, you know, is this a poison pill? Will this one person essentially tank the future of half the reason why you purchase a property like Warner Brothers?
Oh, it very well could. I mean, just because, and I'm going to bring this up just because I'm sure somebody that's listening will think it, and that's to bring in Johnny Depp and Warner Brothers' response to that, where essentially all that was Johnny Depp lost a libel case in the UK where an article had referred to him as a wife beater, and ignoring the simple fact that, as I understand it, libel laws in the UK are a fair bit, shall we say, more relaxed than they are here.
It's complicated, yeah.
Yeah. In layman's terms, as I understand it, if that case had been tried in America instead of in the UK, Depp probably would have won.
Mm-hmm.
But because he lost over there, Warner Brothers instantly fired him from Fantastic Beasts and I think Pirates of the Caribbean and so forth.
No, Pirates is Disney.
Okay.
I believe his involvement with Disney had ended at that point.
Okay.
They still obviously have a contractual deal for likeness rights and such, but you've noticed that there hasn't been much Jack Sparrow out there in the last decade.
True. But like, the fact still remains, even just looking at Fantastic Beasts, Warner Brothers instantly removed Johnny Depp because of one thing. Whereas with Ezra Miller, there has been literal months of documented events. Like, he's literally on camera.
Yeah. No, and this is absolutely true. But Depp wasn't the focus of
that's exactly what I was about to say.
Like, yeah. For some damn reason, they decide to make Ezra Miller, whose character dies in the first film, the plot focus of this whole trilogy, and then in the last film decide to pull that away and say, no, that was bullshit, in a cunning move of terrible fucking screenwriting. The writer of that movie is just terrible on so many levels. That would have been one thing. Okay, you know, they had to replace the actor already who played Grindelwald. It happened, and then they had to do it again, and it's like, fine, that's just an aspect of that series, I guess. But, you know, they didn't have Johnny Depp as a crux of another major franchise, as the literal, like, the linchpin, the cornerstone, everything in their universe is supposed to revolve around this, and all they need is a jumping off, and the spot that they were jumping off from just fell into the sea, and so they're trying desperately to pretend it's still there, and hey, no, it's all right, we'll have more Michael Keaton, and we're never going to have Ezra Miller in a film again as the Flash, and it's like, yeah, but you're still releasing this one film, aren't you? Starring Ezra Miller as the Flash. You can't help yourself. You've spent too much money at this point.
Yeah, they've spent too much money, and at least the previous studio administration, because I have no idea entirely what that status is right now, but they put themselves in a position with Miller where by the time that they realized they had to do some major course correction with the entire DCEU, the only spot that they could do it was the Flash movie.
Yeah. And now that's even a complete quagmire and clusterfuck. I'm amazed at this point that they haven't had it reported that they're doing secret reshoots with Michael Keaton to buff up his role and essentially turn Ezra's appearance maybe into a quick show up, and then he dies, like they digitally kill him or something, and Michael Keaton's Batman is now like going through the multiverse trying to find whoever is at fault for you know, who murdered Ezra Miller's Flash. I will bring justice to the lost Flash and his completely erased universe, never to be seen again. I will bring justice. Well, I, the good Batman, Michael Keaton Batman. You know, it's like, I could completely see that just being, no, we're going to completely erase them. I'm surprised that they haven't done that, or it hasn't been leaked or something.
Actually, the thing is, you've already alluded to why that's not going to happen. Money.
Because that'll take... Michael Keaton would just be like, I want $50 million in a truck dropped off on my lawn in front of my neighbors. Everyone has to see the $50 million just flop out of it. Just stack after stack after stack. And then I'm going to go play in the pile and no one's allowed to touch it.
But the thing is, like, even if he didn't do that, let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Michael Keaton agreed to come back and do those reshoots free of charge.
Free of charge! Only merchandising rights.
Ezra Miller, as I understand it, is in pretty much every single shot of the Flash movie.
Oh my fucking god.
As I understand it, to reshoot it, that's a $200 movie that they would have to essentially throw out and do again from scratch.
Oh my god. $200 million just down the can. Not even
$200 million. Because if they're gonna do this, if they were to reshoot the same movie from the start, that's now a $400 million movie.
Yeah.
Now you add in marketing and so forth, and the general rule of thumb that you have to at least double the shooting budget, that now becomes potentially $800 million. So it's entirely possible that Warner Brothers, in order to fully replace Ezra Miller, like, this is not that Kevin Spacey movie where they replaced him with Christopher Plummer. And I know people love to go back to that, but Kevin Spacey, as I understand it, was not in that movie anywhere near as much as Ezra Miller is in Flashpoint.
As well, that's not exactly a CG-heavy movie. You can literally just go to the same set and just shoot a different actor doing the role. You know, they didn't have to then, like, digitally splice someone behind months and months of rendering work. You know what I think they should do with this? They should take the film that they have, find the crappiest, the most intentionally crappiest CGI cover-up app. Not even a program or a company. Don't do that. No. Find an app that just, like, puts some crappy CGI replacement or, like, one of those apps that put you in the movies. Ugh. And tag Ezra Miller in every scene and have it horribly redone with, like, Paddington Bear or something. There's an account that photoshops Paddington Bear into every movie until they forget. And just have that happen. No lines. The characters all talk at Paddington Bear and then expect a reply and nothing happens. Maybe like Paddington thinks at them, but you don't get to see it. And it's just terrible. Sometimes Paddington is 8 feet tall because of the perspective, standing next to someone. Sometimes Paddington's in the distance and, like, proper doll shape. Sometimes Paddington's moving really fast. Turns out Marmalade gives you super speed. Don't go into it. Don't ever touch it. Just make it so obvious that, like, no, this is what we have to do. You all, as an audience, accept what is happening here because we have to get past this. We have to get to Aquaman 2. Please, we have to get to Black Adam. Let us just release our fucking movies.
As wonderful and hilarious as that option would be,
yeah,
like, realistically, and a side note, I hate myself so much for what I'm about to say. Ezra Miller has to be there. That's like I said during the Carmilla review, sometimes you have to look at a film from that more practical perspective.
Yeah, no, and like that's the horrible, ridiculous catch-22 of this is they have to release it for so many reasons, and they have to be there. But aside from ridiculous over-the-top fandom and anyone who has not heard about any of this, who the fuck is going to watch this movie? I mean, like, yeah, I'll steal it. I'll pirate the fuck out of it and watch that, but I'm not giving a goddamn cent to this. I'm amazed that they haven't at this point been like, buy a ticket to Black Adam and get a free ticket to The Flash. Just please God, so that we can say on paper, we moved this many tickets for The Flash, and people would be like, so how much money did it make? And they'd be like,
Yeah, and especially if this is a multiverse story, then obviously going forward after this movie, they can't bring Ezra Miller back.
No.
But
Ezra Miller died on the way back to their home planet, obviously.
But like I said, like, with this being a multiverse story, one would hope that like I said, realistically, they can't replace Ezra Miller over the entire movie. But for a multiverse story, I would hope that there is a point somewhere in there where a switch could be made.
It's not even Grant Gustin. It's just suddenly they turn a corner. It's John Wesley's ship. And he's wearing the same outfit and no one acknowledges it. It's just, oh, hi, Barry. Hi, I'm Barry Allen. Yeah, I know, Barry.
Well, also remember, though, like, realistically, no, that I don't see them bringing in Grant Gustin. But that being said, those two Flashes have already met. As also essentially part of a multiverse story.
Yeah, yeah.
Because remember, the CW did their own Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, yes.
And Ezra Miller did make an appearance.
Yeah, unfortunately, they did. In the most shoved in, most awkwardly filmed scene in a very cheesy and awkward special. Ah, 400 episodes in the making, baby. Well, let's keep going after. No!
But, yeah, like I said, I would think that there would be... Maybe they just reshot, say, the final act of the movie and found a story point where they could bring in someone else to play Barry Allen.
Yeah, John Wesley Shipp as his third Flash. Give John Wesley Shipp the hat trick. The Flash trick. Yeah, come on. John Wesley Shipp. I don't care that he's getting older and older. John Wesley Shipp. I want a Flash that can't even run anymore because of his knees. Wow, you move super quick. He's just standing there in a heroic pose. He's like, yep. No, I'm the Flash. I can run so fast it doesn't even look like I'm running.
But another thing, though, I gotta say, with the movie itself, I think the one person that I feel terrible for over anybody else involved with the film is Sasha Calle.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry you got attached to a shitty project. Like, not even a shitty project, doomed.
Doomed. Yeah, like not even just attached. I believe that this is... Her film debut is this movie.
Sorry.
Yeah, like that's gotta hurt.
Of a story of compounding tragedies and shit, that's obviously not the worst, but it's just one of those tiny little things of like, congratulations, asshole. Not only are you there the people that you are directly hurting, there's the careers that you are indirectly hurting. You know, like, Tom Cruise might be an intense guy to work with, and, you know, sometimes he yells at the cast or crew, but you know that dude thinks about everyone in his production staff and, like, everyone working on a film when he makes a decision that might impact their ability to get paid. Like, there's a dude who thinks, like, if you're working on one of his films, do your job and you'll get to the end of this and everything will be cool because, you know, it's about that professionalism. Ezra Miller's professionalism is obviously the least of the problems right now. There are so many other things. But just like that, at the end of the day, you're even fucking over your co-stars. Eat shit. Like, god damn it. I hope this ends soon. So yeah, that we can just co-stars finally get past this. Yeah.
But yeah, and... Like, while I get that Warner Brothers won't do about 3/4 of the things that fans want them to do, because quite simply, they can't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they've got to at least say something.
At some point, they have to say something instead of waiting for something definitive to happen one way or another. And I don't think that they deserve any kind of financial reward when they do finally say something. I'm not going to pay for any of the DC films until they turn their shit around. And I wasn't going to pay for The Flash anyway because Ezra Miller's in it. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to pirate Black Adam. Because why? This studio has made nothing but bad decisions for the last decade plus. Nothing but bad decisions. Doesn't matter who's in charge. They just keep making bad, cynical, selfish decisions. And now they're propping up a potentially provenly and allegatorily very dangerous person. Ezra Miller, you should probably just stop and surrender yourself and let yourself get served.
And yeah, no,
get help. And yeah.
Yeah, like on the one in a billion chance that they are actually listening to this episode, Ezra Miller, please just turn yourself in. Like this needs to stop.
Yeah.
Like right now Warner Brothers has a movie that as of this recording at least is scheduled to be released just about exactly a year from now. So it's very possible that they're going to have a film that they're doing press for where their lead actor is a fugitive.
Yeah. Or
and there's no way that that's not going to come up.
Yeah, or imprisoned. Awaiting trial. Yeah. Like, oh, good Lord. No one is going to come out unscathed from this in some form. This is not done yet. We have spent an hour talking about it, and it's only the stuff up until now that we know. This is not done yet. We're going to have another one of these someday.
And with Ezra, especially with Ezra Miller's history of violence, it's downright terrifying to think about what that other one might be.
Yeah. Well, that was gloomy and dark and depressing. if you like that for some reason, please like, share, and subscribe. The next episode will be back to the silly willy willy silly sillies, especially our next episode where we will be doing week 3 of the Pride Month coverage with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Fantastic, fun, enjoyable film. Sorry about the last hour.
Yeah. And if we can, time permitting, we could potentially pull up a few stories, do a bonus B-roll that would be just silliness.
Yeah. That's probably, we'll probably do that later in the week, because that's for sure. We need to laugh again.
Exactly.
Until then, where can people contact us if they wish to complain, or if for some reason Ezra wants to send us mocking jests, which we'll pass on to the authorities?
Well, we could be reached by email at realgeekshfx@gmail.com or on Twitter at realgeekshfx. Please feel free to send us any questions, comments, compliments, complaints, your own thoughts on the Ezra Miller situation. Whatever you want to say.
There's truly just, this is a clusterfuck that is only now unwinding.
Yeah.
There's so much more clusterfuck behind it.
And, like I said back toward the start of the episode, like, there's literally at least 5 years of history here. Warner Brothers, background checks, I'm just saying.
Perhaps at this point, background checks might be a necessary thing to do. I'm surprised that, I'm sure that they do something like that, and it's like, I'd be fascinated to know what their metrics are for, like, oh, that's problematic, but not problematic enough. We can make money.
Mm. Yeah. And on that note.
And on that note, hopefully you have a lovely next couple of days before we get Priscilla Queen of the Desert recorded and out. We know that we've kind of flipped the schedule around a bit on this, and we will get that sorted at some point. At some point.
But on the plus side, my workshops are done for now, so we'll be able to get things back to whatever we call normal.
Hey, the return of some vague sense. All right, until then, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye, everybody.
See ya.